Welcome back to Head Games Radio on Sirius Satellite with Randy Kovitz, one of the best writers for the Kansas City Star, covers the Chiefs and around the NFL, and Jim Tunney. And here's an interesting comment about the evolution of the face mask from somebody that should know a lot about it. Sam Huff, one of the only players in NFL history, maybe the only one to be on the cover of Time magazine.
I'd be.
Well, it is a 15-yard penalty, you know, but they're not going to award a touchdown like Lynn just said. And it used to be legal to grab a hold of the face mask and twist it and pull the guy down. And, you know, they made it illegal now to even grab a hold of that face mask. Everybody wears a face mask. At one time, you know, when the commissioner, we wouldn't wear a face mask. And then the commissioner said, you must wear a face mask or you won't play. It's for their own safety. But, you know, you get a 15-yard penalty, and I think that's enough, you know, and just let it go. I mean, yeah. It's a handle out there, and you know, if you're going to stop a guy from scoring a touchdown, you don't try to hurt him, but you grab what you can grab a hold of, whether it's shoulder pads, legs, helmets, whatever.
There's Sam Huff. So, Jim, as you listen, it sounds like really you're right that it really without the face mask, certainly there wouldn't be a face mask by definition penalty. But what were the other kinds of injuries, as you remember back to prior to the face mask in the 50s? What were the injuries that were dominating the game back then?
Well, the face mask does change the game, and why I say that, if you change the game by taking the face mask away, I don't believe in this day and age you can do that. I don't think that's a practical solution because it is a protective device, but what it does, it teaches the player not to be fearful of using his head or his face in tackling or blocking. And I grew up blocking and tackling with your shoulder. And if you'll do that, unfortunately, our high school kids emulate what the players do, and they sometimes tackle or block with their head, and that's where the severe neck injuries come in. I think the injuries that we've seen in the past are the torn ligaments in the knee and the shoulder dislocations, and that's another suggestion that I've written to the NFL. Do you know that there's an illegal in the National Football League for a defensive player to hack the quarterback's arm when he's in the act of throwing? You cannot chop a quarterback's arm when he's in the act of throwing. It's in the book. It's been in the book for some time now. It cost Chad Pennington a season. It cost Drew Brees the playoff games. And how Pennington and Brees are coming back from rotator cuff surgery and throw the ball as hard as you need to throw it as a quarterback in the National Football League is really a miracle. But I think if they'll take that out, you'll save some quarterbacks, too, because you ought to be attacking a quarterback. They didn't tackle John Unitas and Bart Starr and Roger Staubach and people like that with the kind of viciousness that they do today. Today, I call it Terminator football. You're trying to run through the quarterback. You're trying to knock him down. Well, that's fine to knock him down, but tackle him with your shoulder. Take him to the ground that way instead of picking him up and throwing him to the ground with the viciousness that I see going on today.
Nobody told Derek Thomas about that, did they, Nick? That you couldn't hack him.
I love Derek Thomas. Derek played the game very fairly, I thought, but he played it with great intensity, no question about it.
Yeah, Jim, this is Randy Kovitz. You know, without the face mask, it was good enough for Jim Thorpe and Lou Groza and George Halas and all those people. We had the NASCAR, the Nextel Cup races were here in Kansas City a week ago. And we did a comparison showing the uniform, you know, the today's NFL uniforms and equipment compared to the NASCAR racers with their protective equipment. And the interesting item was the helmet. And even back, you know, in the Richard Petty days in the 50s and 60s, those guys used to wear helmets that were like almost like bicycle helmets. I mean, there was no face guard, there was no shield. It was just a little foam, stamp of plastic that went around their heads, just as primitive as the old leather helmets of the old days in football. That's just, you know, technology has just come a long way.
Technology has, and the viciousness of the size of the players has come a long way, too. These players at 300 pounds are colliding with each other. They're like two Mack trucks on the freeway that smash into each other. It's a tougher game.
Just like the cars
well, Jim,
on the track.
Listen, so guys, we want to bring on somebody who knows a lot about this, but Jim Tunney, I just want to thank you for contributing to the discussion. I hope we can build on this discussion in the next few weeks, my friend.
Nick, we'll catch you again. Thanks for calling.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Randy, if you'll stay with us, Al Saunders, you're a brave man to come on. I know it's a big day for you. Tuesdays is game plan day, but thanks for joining us.
Hey, no problem. Hey, I'm with Jim Tunney. You know, I think after our game in New York, they should ban touching the quarterback altogether.
Well, you know, we had a long conversation last week. It seemed like the Redskins, it was very much evident the Redskins' offense was on all cylinders as well. It's hard to predict this year more than ever what the outcome will be in a given game. What happened on Sunday?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, we ran into a buzzsaw. You know, last year the Redskins went up and played New York in New York and gained a total of 125 yards of offense and just got whacked. And we thought we had a great week of practice and went up there and felt very good about what we were going to do. And they had 2 weeks to prepare after a bye week, and they came out ready to play. And boy, they played with a lot more emotion and intensity than we did early in the game. And, you know, we just never got into a rhythm and never got into sync, and they handled us real well. Those two defensive ends are outstanding football players, and their defensive staff deserve a lot of credit. They really had a great plan for us, and they played extremely well.
Well, pressure on a quarterback perhaps is the single most important ingredient in a defensive scheme. You saw what happened to Drew Bledsoe, and he is a guy with two personalities when he has time to throw. One of the best quarterbacks in the league if he has time, one of the worst if he doesn't. With Mark Brunell, it's been a little bit that way as well. Even though he's more mobile, he's less mobile than he used to be, and it seems like this season has been the tale of a Mark Brunell in three of the games that seemed extremely uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think that's the case with any quarterback. You know, last Sunday against New York, they hit him early a couple times in the game and then rung his bell a little bit, and you're just not the same guy. You know, the two games ago, he completes 22 of his first passes in a row and sets an NFL record never been done in the history of the league, and then the next game comes back and throws for 329 yards in a winning cause against Jacksonville. That was an outstanding defense. But, you know, the defensive players in the league now, as Jim Tunney was saying, they're extremely fast, extremely well coached, and very physical, and they get around that quarterback, and it's like, you know, sharks in the water, and they whacked Mark a couple of pretty good times, and, you know, we didn't do a good enough job of getting him out of the pocket and changing his throwing spot, and, you know, unfortunately, he didn't play as well this last week as he would have hoped or as we would have hoped as a football team.
And you had a pretty good running game. Clinton Portis, I think, had, 76 yards and about 19 carries, as I remember, something like that. You seem to be moving the ball quite well. Randy Kovacs, from your point of view, when you look at teams that put pressure on the quarterback, as Philadelphia is doing against Bledsoe, and even so, Bledsoe had them right down inside the 10-yard line, having a chance to tie the game and then threw that big interception. Is that the number one factor that determines the quality of performance of a quarterback?
Well, there's the old saying, you know, your quarterback can't complete a pass, you know, when he's on the ground. And I was at that game in Philadelphia, and that last interception, really, that wasn't so much a pressure thing. That was an option route that Witten went one way and Bledsoe went the other, so he could have had all day. I think they were going to misfire on that. But for a lot of the criticism that T.O. took for only making three catches, well, Bledsoe was sacked seven times and harassed several other times. Bledsoe actually had more yards rushing than T.O. had receiving at one point, and you don't know how many of those seven sacks and scrambles might have been going to T.O. So the Eagles got seven sacks, all from their front four, and as you said, you know, Bledsoe or any quarterback under that situation just isn't going to be able to plant and find a second receiver, not to mention his first, right, Al?
Well, there's no question about that. You know, the thing a defensive coach would tell you is if you can get pressure on the quarterback with your four down linemen, you've got a real hand up in the game because you've got seven defenders to cover the receivers, and you count the numbers, and almost every receiver can be doubled. And when they can't get you with four, they try to bring five or six, and the different looks and the different personnel groups that defenses are using now, it makes the game such a much more complex game in terms of pass protection and trying to protect the quarterback.
Al, in the last 20 seconds of this segment, we want to thank you first for coming on. But what are the Redskins going to do to protect Mark Brunell, which to me is the number one thing? When he has the protection, he plays so much more confidently.
Well, you know, we've had three of the five games where we've had no sacks at all, and our offensive line has played extremely well. We got beat a couple of times this last week, but we'll move the pocket for him, and we'll keep changing the throwing spot and try to get the ball out of his hands a little bit quicker and do a good job next week coming up when we play the Tennessee Titans.
Well, good luck against Tennessee, my friend. As always, back to the grindstone for you, young man.
Thank you, Nick. Talk to you later.
Appreciate it, Al.
Bye.
Randy, if you'll stay with us, we'll give your top five picks in the AFC when we come back. We'll be right back.